Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about reports that Tesla has temporarily shut down some production at Fremont. We also have a new electric vehicle tax credit bill introduced in the Senate, news on Giga Berlin, Tesla Energy, the refresh Model S and X, and a couple other topics. First up, quick look at the stock. Tesla today finished down 8% to $682.22. That compared to the NASDAQ, also with a very challenging day, down 3.5%. If you compare the graphs, they look pretty similar directionally, but Tesla having a bigger degree of movement. My opinion remains the same as we've been talking about over the last few days. This isn't isolated to Tesla. NIO today was down 10%, XPeng down 8.5%, Arcimoto down 9%. Clearly some shifts in the overall market. Doesn't necessarily mean that's not important. We need to understand the context, but as we've talked about, I don't think any of that context is anything that's going to be impactful to Tesla long term. I'm invested for the long term, so to me, pretty inconsequential. All right, so the big news today is on the status of Tesla's production at Fremont. Very early this morning, Bloomberg posted an article reporting that Tesla was temporarily halting production on a Model 3 line at Fremont. They've actually since updated the title of that article. Reads a little bit less aggressively now, quote, Tesla scales back Model 3 output amid supply chain woes, end quote. Before we get too deep into this, I don't think this really impacted the stock too much today. This was out about 6 hours before market open, and Tesla opened down just 1-2% or so, then proceeded to decline throughout the day as the markets overall fell off. But if you just saw Tesla down 8 and this production article, then you might pair them together and assume it was more impactful than it seemed to be. Anyway, Bloomberg here reported that, quote, Tesla Inc. told workers it will temporarily halt some production at its car assembly plant in California for about 2 weeks, according to a person familiar with the matter. Staff on Model 3 production line in Fremont were told their line would be down from February 22nd until March 7th, though some Model 3 employees were back in the factory February 24th, said the person, who asked not to be identified because the information is private, end quote. Now, Elon Musk has already addressed this on Twitter about 30 minutes after market close today. He said, quote, Fremont shut down for 2 days, parts shortages, and restarted yesterday, end quote. We also appear to have a leaked email from Elon to Tesla employees about 15 minutes prior to that tweet, where he writes, quote, We are experiencing some parts supply issues, so took the opportunity to bring Fremont production down for a few days to do equipment upgrades and maintenance. Fremont production is back up and running as of yesterday, and will spool up rapidly to full 3/Y production over the next several days. Model S/X production lines are almost done retooling, and will be aiming for max production next quarter. There is high demand, so we will soon need to go back to 2 shifts for S and X. Please recommend friends to recruiting, end quote. So before we had this information from Elon, we did have a couple of rumors on Reddit about the timelines here. So someone had posted saying they work at the Fremont factory, production was shut down on the 22nd. They were told to report back on today, the 25th, and quote, we are told we are doing limited production on Model 3 for 2 weeks starting next week, end quote. So you've got Elon saying, yes, we had a couple days down, but we've now restarted and we'll get things up and running over the next few days. Then you've got these rumors on Reddit and from Bloomberg that production might be a little bit limited for the next couple of weeks. These reports don't necessarily contradict each other, so I do assume that production will be a little bit limited due to some supply constraints here for a period of time. We don't know exactly what those might be. Of course, we've talked a lot about semiconductor issues in terms of the broader automotive industry. There was also a report last week, which I apologize I did not see last week, from Nikkei Asia, that due to the weather and power supply issues, Samsung actually had to shut down one of their chip fabrication plants in Texas, and my understanding is that is where Tesla's full self-driving computer is made. The most recent update I could find was per the Austin American Statesman on Tuesday, which says that, quote, Samsung has not yet resumed full operations after it was shut down last week amid statewide power shortages, end quote. A Samsung spokeswoman said, quote, while we are currently making efforts to resume operations as soon as possible, the process may require more time to reach normal levels as we inspect and reconfigure the facility. Our primary focus is to ensure safety on site for our workforce as well as our community, end quote. This article also offers a bit of insight into that restarting process, saying, quote, Patrick Moorhead, a technology industry analyst and founder of Austin-based consulting firm Moore Insights and Strategy, said shutting down a fab is a complicated process, and turning it back on could take several days to a full week, and if any issues occur, it could be weeks, he said. Quote, I've never seen a fab turned on after an outage without hiccups. For example, if one molecule of water would find its way into the tools, it could completely halt production. A fab uses very particular gases, liquids, and matter that is hard to store and put back after it has been brought out of storage, Moorhead said, end quote. So hopefully that helps give some context around the supply issues that Tesla may be having, though of course that is speculative, but that might give us some insight into the oddness that we saw with the Standard Range Model Y disappearing from the design studio so quickly after a price cut, and the decision here, from what it sounds like, to limit Model 3 production in particular, because if Tesla is constrained on that FSD computer, putting what they do have into long-range and performance Model Ys is going to be their best return on those chips. So obviously these problems are short-term in nature, even if we do have a couple weeks here of limited production. It's not like Tesla didn't have to deal with similar things last year. Fremont was shut down from March 23rd to May 11th due to the pandemic. So the year-over-year numbers are going to be strong. Regardless, last year in Q1, Tesla produced about 102,000 vehicles, Q2 about 82,000. So even with some limited production here, Tesla should easily clear 50% growth in production in the first half of the year. All right, moving on from production here, we do have an interesting update on the U.S. federal EV tax credit. Earlier this week, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley and Congressman Peter Welch introduced new legislation proposing to eliminate the per manufacturer cap on the $7,500 tax credit. So this varies from the other introduced legislation that we have seen that would extend the cap from 200,000 up to 600,000, so an additional 400,000 vehicles, and lower the incentive to 7,000 from $7,500. As for this proposal, again, they suggest removing the per manufacturer cap and extending the tax credit for the next 10 years. They also propose allowing buyers to distribute the tax credit over a 5-year period, just in case they don't have that tax burden of $7,500 in that first year, or to apply the credit at the point of sale. So as far as Tesla goes and the two current EV tax credit proposals, this would definitely be much more favorable to Tesla. If it is just 400,000 additional vehicles, Tesla will hit that super quickly, and then they'll be disadvantaged because other automakers will have that tax credit while Tesla does not. The other proposal doesn't really create a sense of urgency for other automakers. They would have that 200,000 or up to 600,000 vehicle limit for as long as they needed to. But with the time-based proposal, they would be incentivized to ramp up production as quickly as possible to capture as many sales that can utilize that credit as possible. The difference here for Tesla would be staggering. If the other proposal goes through, that would maybe allow Tesla to sell an additional, I don't know, let's say 500,000, because you get a little bit of time for the credit to phase out. So maybe buyers of about 500,000 Tesla vehicles get that credit. So 500,000 vehicles, a $7,000 credit on each vehicle, that would be a total credit of $3.5 billion going towards Teslas being purchased in the US. Under this time-based proposal, the next 10 years, if Tesla hits their plan, they might be delivering something like 25 million vehicles in the US over that period of time. That's just some super rough math on Tesla's 20 million vehicle target. But under that scenario, with this time-based proposal, the total credit would be 25 million vehicles times $7,500 per vehicle, $187 billion. Now, the US government probably doesn't think Tesla will actually sell that many vehicles over that period of time, so they probably won't expect the credit to be that big, but that alone should tell you the likelihood of this going through. In my opinion, I think it's pretty low. I do think that would be pretty much game over for internal combustion engine vehicles, and it would be an amazing boon for Tesla, but I don't think it'll happen in this form. I've got some different thoughts for something that could be a little bit more affordable and could make more sense, but I think we'll save that for another episode. I think overall, my preferred method would just be a carbon tax, and then maybe put some subsidies for population groups that is overly impactful for. But it seems like that's not going to happen, so if the EV tax credit is the way that we're going to go, I do think there are better ways to structure it than either of these two proposals. Nevertheless, we'll definitely have to keep a close eye on that proposal. That would be quite the windfall for Tesla if it did somehow manage to go through. It is co-sponsored by Cory Booker, Bernie Sanders, so some prominent supporters. We'll just have to see what happens. Next, we've got a rumor here on Giga Berlin. This is coming from somebody on Twitter that has a software company in Germany. The software company works with Deutsche Bahn, a German railway transport company. And earlier today, he tweeted that Deutsche Bahn has told him that Tesla has informed them that Tesla is looking for containers for the start of series production from July/August, apparently also for prototypes from May. So I did see this original tweet. I can confirm that that was a tweet, although obviously it is still speculation. This is hearsay, but that tweet was since deleted as this person decided they prefer anonymity. So as always with this kind of stuff, take it with a grain of salt. This person, for what it's worth, maybe nothing, but they do follow me on Twitter, so I assume they're a listener, meaning they probably have the proper context to understand the information they received, apparently here from Deutsche Bahn. All right, next up here, we've got a little bit of news on Tesla Energy. This is about a project that we have talked about in the past, the Victorian Big Battery Project. It's going to be a 450 megawatt hour battery storage project in Australia. This is not the Hornsdale Power Reserve. This is a separate project, but Tesla is working on it with the same partner in Neoen. Neoen yesterday tweeted, quote, Victorian Big Battery has reached financial close 3 months after signing a contract with AMO Media. Thanks to CFC Australia financing and support, construction of Australia's largest battery is underway with partners Tesla and AustNet Services, already hard at work. Go team, end quote. So when complete, again, with that 450 megawatt hour size, this will be more than twice the amount of energy capacity as the Hornsdale Power Reserve, and the battery is contracted to begin operating before November of 2021. All right, next here, we've got an update on the refresh Model S and Model X. Kilowatts over on Twitter over the last 24 hours has spotted both the refreshed S and the refreshed X in the parking lot at Fremont. Remember in Elon Musk's leaked email earlier, he said that the production lines are almost done retooling and that they're looking to get some max production on that next quarter. So it looks like they're just now getting the very first of these vehicles off the production line. So I'd guess we see, I don't know, maybe around a couple thousand this quarter. All right, last thing for today. I didn't really want to talk about this, but I think we kind of have to talk about it now because Electrek earlier this afternoon posted an article about this with the headline of, quote, Tesla CEO Elon Musk is reportedly under SEC investigation over Dogecoin tweets, end quote. So where does this reportedly under investigation come from? Well, the only source I can find on this is from the account First Squawk on Twitter. They write, quote, SEC is said to investigate Tesla chief executive Musk for his tweets on Dogecoin, sources familiar with the matter. Hashtag Dogecoins, hashtag Tesla, end quote. It's been 6 hours. I'm not seeing this anywhere else. I don't know anything about this account. They've got 142,000 followers, but they aren't verified. If you go to their website, they're based in Mumbai, India. If you click on the news section of their website, which is literally the second link after home, it brings you to a blank WordPress page that says, hello world, welcome to WordPress. This is your first post. Edit or delete it, then start writing. So yeah, I'm not going to put a whole lot of weight in that until we hear it from another source. At any rate, Elon did reply to a tweet on this matter earlier today, which wrote, quote, the SEC investigating dog memes sent by a memer about a meme coin is peak 2021. All hail Emperor Musk. Elon said, quote, I hope they do. It would be awesome. Two laughing crying emojis. So yeah, I don't think there's anything of substance here. I'm not even sure what they'd be investigating him about. It's not illegal for Elon Musk to tweet about Dogecoin. If you're going to argue that he's pumping it somehow, well, the big spike in Dogecoin already had happened by the time Elon started tweeting about Dogecoin again. He's obviously tweeted about it in the past, but most recently started talking about it again on the night between February 3rd and February 4th. Dogecoin had already spiked from basically 1 cent up to 5 cents, fell back down to about 3.5 cents, and then after Elon tweeted about it, rose up to about 5 cents, went up to 8 cents, now it's back down to 5 cents, so it's up like 35% since Elon started tweeting about it most recently. Seems like pretty normal volatility for a cryptocurrency, let alone one that is named Dogecoin. So that's really it for today. If you do want a little bit more Tesla Daily, I will put the link down in the show notes of an appearance that I made this morning on Fox Business, kind of a fun little opportunity for me. Just a quick 4-minute clip sharing some of my thoughts on Tesla. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, February 26th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.